Welcome to Christ Today. One way or another, we are each wanting to know what tomorrow holds. Really, what we are asking is, what does tomorrow hold for me? You could be asking about your main relationship or something to do with your children or your money or your health. Maybe about a medical examination you had, or one that a loved one just had. We each have so many concerns in life. Often it is about money. Oh, like, can you get that deposit that you just made or needed to make, or the check, did that clear? There's always money things that are issues for all of us. There are always concerns that we have. Sometimes it is the next thing that our heart desires. It can be, oh, whatever we had a plan for or a desire for. And how many times have we had a prayer just for our desires, the things that we have wanted for ourselves? Because that's what we do. We think about what we want and we pray for them. And we must also remember to pray for other people. Pray for what they want. Pray for someone else in need. That's another part of what we do. So, Heavenly Father, we pray for the other person whom we care so much about, and we pray for our own needs also. Heavenly Father, look after those people around us, the people who we love and who we care about, and even those who we don't. Because all of these people need your love, and how much easier it will be to live with and around those people if we each love you so greatly. So look after those other people, Heavenly Father. Give them what they need, and according to what you know they need. So, and that includes their eternal destiny. Let them be understanding of their eternal destiny so that they go to heaven and not to hell, and they live a life that is appropriate to a heavenly life. Yes. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, yes, we each have so much to pray for, so much that we do not understand. And I think we could do a little better on trying to figure out what God's wants are and how we can pray the same thing that He wants for other people. That's, I think, a maturity that we would have to be able to care for people like God cares for people. And how many times a day could we do that? Well, we could do that a lot. Perhaps we could be reminded when we give thanks to God for all the wonderful things that He has given us, including those most basic things like life, like a body that well works well. And we just thank God for that and for the really, really nice things too, that we have good feelings about so many things. At this time of year, of course, we have more feelings, good feelings, because we're thinking about Jesus. And that's a good thing. It's that time of the year to remember Jesus. Remember God and all he has done for us. Yeah. And then every so often, think about other people too. All sorts of other people. The people who we love and the people who we don't love. All of them. Think about that. And I know that in the Bible it talks about being obedient to God. Give that some thought too. How are we going to be obedient to God? What does that mean? If we were to be, it's still the right direction, even if you don't like that word especially. It's the right thing to think about how we can have our activities and our thoughts that please God. So think about that too. Oh, yes. And I know life is not always easy. Often enough, we think about the problems we have. We think about ourselves so much. So we want to think about those things that are on God's mind and God's heart. What does God want? What does Jesus want for you, for other people? You see, then we get to share in that mind of God as we align our own thoughts with God. That's what happens when we allow our thoughts and desires to be aligned with God, with Jesus Christ. And it's very normal and natural to think about our own thoughts and desires. So whenever we do, just extend that a little bit to think about God, Jesus, and other people. It's a good thing to do. And we grow and we grow in our heart and our mind as we have compassion for the needs of other people, for the desires of someone else. So we each want to remember to have that in our heart and even to do something about it. Yes, do the will of God. Do something that is nice. Do something good for another person, especially for their eternal life. And yes, we do nice things for our children. We do nice things for other people, especially when there's something in it for us. But we want to remember that we should do nice things for all sorts of people. It's good to be. And then to have that heart, thankful heart and thankful mind, and to know the comfort and the peace of belonging to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yes. So what do we do now? What do we do today? It's another new day. It's another new year coming up. Always, there's something new. And in the middle of it, we want to seek our Lord and know that we are on earth. And we have earthly problems and earthly complications. But throughout all of these things, we are to remember that we are to seek God and we are to be of service to God so that we get the goodness of that also. Other people get the goodness of that also. Everyone does. So, as we go through life, remember all those things. Remember that we have complications in this world, and this world is not our home. We get into heaven, and that's our heavenly home, our eternal home. In the Bible, there are plenty of people who have had issues, and we learn to deal with life issues by reading about what has happened to them. In this world, in this physical world we are in, there's all sorts of subjects that get addressed in the Bible. And they can help us to understand the things that have been beneficial and the things that have not been beneficial as people pursue their wants and desires of this world. Yeah, remember to put God first, and then other things that are good for us will follow. It's examples. The Bible is full of examples for us to see, for us to read about. And of course we have questions. We ask questions and we seek out answers. That's one of the things the Bible does for us. It shows us the way. You know, I think about so many people today and their concerns, besides what their day-to-day concerns are about life and about money and about relationship. They think about things like, when will Christ return? Jesus will come back, but we don't know quite when. So many people want to have more benefits than they have right now, more good things, or even more relief from the pain that they are feeling, that they have from this world. And so they long for heaven, and they long for Jesus to return too. When is Jesus returning? That's a question that so many people have. And these days, there are lots of people who have their own ideas. They think about it and think, oh, well, it could be any day now. Well, yes, in a way, that's true. It could be. But the Bible also gives us an understanding of what must happen first, before the end of days when Jesus returns. There's so much discussion about that. Can Jesus return any time? Does he need a few things to happen? Well, he doesn't need anything to happen, but for us to understand it, a few things have to happen first, and we just wonder about it. Always we wonder about it, and we try to figure out what the different things mean, different signs, different indicators. And yes, we do seek understanding. Well, we also seek a better life, and a better life is, of course, in heaven with Jesus. So all of those things get thought about and try to put things in order so that, I don't know, there's a level of comfort about it. A lot of people think that Jesus could return, like I said, any time. They thought about the year 2017 as being pretty likely of when he would return. Well, there's people who talk about the year 2027 as being a year when Jesus will return. Oh, but that's not all. Some people say 2037. And I think of Sir Isaac Newton, who made discoveries in the 1600s. I guess the early 1700s too. But it was a long time ago. He had some wonderful observations about gravity. He wrote books on science. He wrote books on the gravity and the natural laws that we have on Earth. He was really quite an amazing thinker. He also had his theories about the laws of motion, and that was a sound scientific theory, especially for that day. He developed calculus. Just an amazing scientist he was. But as much of a scientist as he was, he wrote even more books on theology, or religious books, you might say, than he wrote on science books. And I think that's pretty interesting. So one of the things that was discovered was that in his journal, when he was making notes on scientific discoveries and personal notes also, he wrote about when Jesus would return. Very interesting. And you have to give some thought to a man who has a mind like that, who can think about so many things in depth. But what he said was that he expected the return of Jesus Christ to be about the year 2060. Interesting. Interesting, interesting. I don't really know what to say about that. It's just interesting. We have so many people with so many opinions. We've heard the 2017. We hear about the 2027 and the 2037. And here it is 2060 that Isaac Newton thought of. And then I've heard 2100 as well. We don't know when Jesus will return, but there are thoughts that it could be any time, and it could be yet a good deal in the distant, in the future. So we know, after all, that Jesus said, no one knows the day and the hour. Matthew 24:36 says that of that day and hour no man knoweth, not the angels of heaven, but the Father only. And then a little further it goes on, let's see, it says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. So, the idea that I see is that it's going to be very immediate when it arrives. And there won't be time to have any other preparations that you may have done. It's just going to be all of a sudden here. I think that our preparations are really for just a matter of this life and living life. That's what I think. So we want to be ready. We want to try to understand, certainly. I think of Proverbs 25:2. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search out a matter. And then I think of Revelation 1:6, where it says, God has made us kings and priests unto God. So, okay, I think that tells us it's just fine to look at matters and to try to figure them out, because aren't we all priests and kings? Yes. So what do we expect in the future? We do try to figure it out. We do try to understand what is hidden from our normal thoughts. And so, like I thought at the beginning of this broadcast, what does our future hold? We keep thinking about the future. Of course we do. What is in store for us soon, or even tomorrow, or later on today? Yes, we think about all these things, and there are patterns to help us to understand. Patterns are so important to understanding what is going to come along next. I know there's economic patterns, there's personal patterns that we have, and it's important to look at them and to see what is likely to happen, because it's a pattern, and patterns repeat. So we have economic patterns, and lots of people are trying to figure them out. And there's plenty of people who say, oh, the economy is going to continue in such a upbeat way. It'll just keep getting better and better and better. But that's not what patterns show. Patterns show that there are ups and there are downs. It is a cycle. It's an economic cycle. It's a human cycle. It's a nature cycle. And historical, yes, indeed, it is all of those. So it's good to recognize patterns, and in a way, that's a science. You certainly could say it's a science, and scientists would recognize patterns. But for us today, we think about what will affect us because that's just human. We think about ourselves. And we find the patterns, and sometimes we think we're pretty smart to have found one. Yeah, it's just human. We wonder about what will happen in the future, what God will allow, and we get ideas about all of that from the Bible. The Bible tells us patterns and also tells us what the future holds. Economically, those are patterns too. Economically, you know, the people in New York City, they try to figure it out. Those Wall Street, New York City boys, if I may say that. They say, or so often they say something like, the market is going up. It'll never go down. It's going up and up and up. Look at IBM stock. Look at PG&E. Well, maybe not PG&E stock because of that Paradise Fire. But so often there is an expectation that everything will go up and up and up. But that's not real. There is a reality to patterns, and we have to try to understand them so that what we're doing is having good use of the resources that we have, good use of our assets, and that we are not gambling with them. Now, some people would say the stock market is a gamble. If you buy stock, you are gambling. And there's good reason for that opinion. But, well, I will just let everyone have their own opinion on such things. I look at the stock fund managers. They're not just stocks, but they are various municipal funds. And I do think about what they say because they are very much watching the economy for some really big dollar people. They have big money in their funds. And they are talking about a cycle that they see coming. And this is that they see a difficult time coming. They see a large economic fall. And, of course, we can't be sure of it, but these are people that are paid big money to see patterns. And so I think it's all right to try to understand what it is that they see. Or even, if you don't want to look at that much depth, you look at what their outcome is, what their final thoughts are. And that would be that the United States is going to have a hard time at some point. When? That's a guess. But with people thinking as much as they are thinking now, we have to expect that any day now we could have some issues financially. And what is our safety net for that? To me, it is having what those basic needs are. Always remember what our basic needs are. And to me, our basic needs are as simple as can be. It's water and it's food. Every day we need water and we need food. Now, it could be in the form of a beverage and a cereal or a steak, but every day, water and food is what we need. A couple of days ago, I saw a book again called Lights Out by Ted Koppel. Ted Koppel was a TV guy. A lot of people remember him, but he got pretty concerned about the stories that he was coming across about our national electrical grid. And could it really go down? Could our electricity go out? So he studied it. And after he studied it, he wrote that book, Lights Out. by Ted Koppel. And yes, indeed, he decided that our nation could indeed have a very serious electricity shortage of the lights going out. He thought it was such a serious matter that he bought each of his children, his grandchildren, food and water. A good supply of food and water. So, yeah, he thought about that, and that's his conclusion. There's another fellow, Peter Pry, Dr. Peter Pry, he's a PhD, and he headed up the Congressional EMP Commission. That meant he worked for Congress, and he wrote the EMP report, Electromagnetic Pulse Report, to Congress. And now it's been some years since 2008, as I recall, was the first one, since he submitted that report to Congress. And since then, he had written other reports to Congress. But he saw what a great big danger this was, that the nation could lose electricity completely. And so he has been reaching out to the general population about his concerns and the danger that the American public faces with a complete loss of electricity. That is something which he was very concerned with, and that's why he's been spending his retirement years now talking to people about the dangers that we all could face in America. Oh, so interesting. Well, it's not fun to look at, but it is something that could be so very important. Since that report, there have been other reports to Congress about the EMP danger. All of them pretty much go back to the 1859 Carrington effect, where a solar mass ejection hit the east coast of the United States just right. And it hit telephone lines that were not telephone, telegraph lines that had just been strung up. It hit the barbed wire fences that had just been put up. See, America was just developing at that time. But they put up these long wires, and these wires absorbed the electromagnetic pulse from the sun. And the lines melted. They melted into molten metal, dripped into the grass, and caused prairie fires. That's what happened in 1858. Could it happen again? Yes, it could. And there have been smaller solar mass ejections that have happened. And there have been also electromagnetic pulses, EMPs, which have also happened. All these things have happened on a smaller scale. But we could have a big one, and that's for sure. See, the electromagnetic pulse, EMPs, are caused by a nuclear bomb. And that causes a surge of electricity to be absorbed into the wires, like the electrical wires. And it melts everything. That would knock our electricity out for years. Now, the military did not understand this, and they were wanting to understand about nuclear bombs. And in 1962, they tested a high-altitude nuclear detonation. And that was known as Operation Starfish Prime. It was a small nuclear bomb of 1.5 megatons. And it was detonated way up, at the height that airplanes travel in, basically. And it was like 900 miles away from Hawaii. They thought they could do it in a safe, safe place. But when that electromagnetic pulse reached Hawaii, it knocked out all the electricity to basically all of it. Not all, but most to Hawaii. And wow, it sure woke up the military as to what an EMP was all about. So today we are sitting with that same threat of having a nuclear explosion in the atmosphere and having it knock out great amount of electrical line, even our cars. It's just so far-reaching. And I brought up that Dr. Peter Pry, the PhD, in his congressional report because he talked about what would happen if America did not have electricity. If our electricity was knocked out, what would happen? Oh boy. It was a big thing. It was like so many people would die and not be able to function. It was a huge, huge impact on America. Sure, think about living without electricity. It would be a whole nother world. We have gotten so used to all of the nice things in life that electricity helps us with, and it would be really tough if we had to go back to the manual way of doing things, or horses. Well, you know what? It's just people in the past, that's the way they did it. And even today, people in other cultures, they do live without electricity. So we know we could. Yes, we know we could, but it would not be easy and it would not be fun. So let's try to preserve what we have and also be prepared for the just in case of what would happen if we had to go without electricity. Oh boy, not very good, not very fun. But if we don't think about it, we don't even have a chance to prepare. So think about what could happen and get a few things for what it would be to live without electricity. What would you need? Well, I always think of those basic things like food and water. I really do. And that's what I talk about, just plenty. Food and water. That is to say, dried food and a water filter. That's the best I can see. A water filter that you can use for a long time. And those are those gravity flow ones where you put it in a couple of gallon pot and it comes out the bottom clean. Well, all these things are worth looking into because we don't know what the future holds. No, it's a good question. What does our future hold? And there are plenty of people who want to think that we are Mystery Babylon in America, right here. If you think about how Mystery Babylon is described in Revelation chapter 18, yes, you can think of things, the conditions are quite the same. I think of the different Babylons. I think of there being ancient Babylon, spiritual Babylon, physical Babylon, and I think that there is something to the United States being a spiritual and a physical Babylon, a second one with the same characteristics. And, well, I just urge everyone to look, see what they think. Read the Bible. Read where it talks about Babylon. And then, yes, don't forget that chapter 18 of Revelation, because it talks about what will happen to Babylon. It will be as though an angel picked up a huge millstone and cast it into the sea. So you might think of a tsunami. Yeah, tsunami. I think we're at the 15th year of that Asian tsunami right now. So you can tell that Babylon is going to go through some really hard times. Can that be us? It sure might be. But read it for yourself. See what you think. The Bible does tell us a lot of the things that are going to happen. West Coast, East Coast, who knows? The Bible talks about earthquakes. Oh, yes. Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, they all talk about earthquakes. Oh, and famine and war and pestilence, which means a contagious epidemic disease. So, will that really happen? Oh, I think so, because I believe the Bible. They've been right. The Bible has been right all the times in the past. I think it will simply continue being correct. We just don't know quite when. That's the thing. But I started out talking about when Jesus will return, and there is reason to think that we should be prepared for that just in case. That's up to everyone. We all have a different way of thinking about it. We all have a different way of preparing for that just in case. You never want to forget about what happens when we die, because that is our eternal hope, heaven to be with Jesus. So we want to think about what to do in this life to get us to heaven. And that is trust in Jesus Christ. And remember John chapter 3, be born again. Well, that part about what will happen in the future. Let's see, Matthew 24 does talk about this. It talks about before it happens, that we will be preaching in all the nations, preaching the good news of the gospel. Mark 16:15 talks about preaching the gospel to the world. So, that's what is going on in some people's mind. We are spreading the good news of the gospel to the world, because that's just what we're called on to do. Spread the good news. The good news of going to heaven instead of hell. That is good news, that heaven is available when we accept God's free gift of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross as a penalty for our sins. So, yes, and then we turn away from our sins and we walk with Jesus in holiness. Yep, that's the basics of that gospel. And so we seek it, we think about it, and we talk about the wonderful gift that we have through Jesus Christ. And what are we supposed to be doing? Well, I think we think about the things that could come upon us, and we prepare. Of course, it can be the little things like an economic downturn, the loss of a job, needing of gasoline or food for a car. It can be a big thing like death and going to heaven or hell, and we don't want hell. So choose heaven, choose Jesus. So, what's coming, and what are we supposed to do? I just think of how some people consider what the answer is to get a lot, get a lot of guns and defend your food. Yes, I've heard people say that, but no, I would say you love God and love your neighbor and spread the good news of the gospel. That's what I think about. Loving your neighbor. And show compassion to your neighbor. And that could be by giving them food. Now, we are to give things away. And we are also to know that men are to work for what they get. That's right in the Bible, too. Those who do not work shall not eat is one of the sayings, things said. So, yes, we work. We want to save souls, and we want to get along well in life. And that's what we do. We use good judgment and do good work. And we have wisdom about all the things that the Bible warns us about. It's just what we do. So, do you see difficulty coming to this nation? Well, a lot of people do. And so, How are we to get prepared? Isn't that the question? What are we supposed to do to get prepared? Well, I sure like the idea of Bibles. Oh, yes. But I think of Joseph in Egypt also, ancient Egypt. How there was the 7 years of plenty and then the 7 years of famine. To me, that's a lesson. I can't say it'll be the same, but it might have some of the same truths to it. Yeah, and I think about Matthew 24:37, how these things came upon the world suddenly. Oh, 2 Peter says that too in 3:10. It says that things will come suddenly. Judgment comes suddenly with fire. And so we seek understanding. And what do we do about it? We try to put it together with current events. And I think the answer is to do some preparedness. That's what I see. We can have actions to help us with preparations, and we need to do that. Do something. Otherwise, we will suffer the consequences of not being prepared. I think of Benjamin Franklin. He said that little saying of being prepared, that if you are not preparing, you are preparing to fail. So, yes, get some things together, and remember that we could have hard times again as a nation, or even as a world. The world could have some pretty hard times coming upon it. We just don't know. But look at those biblical examples of people. And I think it's pretty clear that one of them is to store up against hard times, so that just in case or when hard times come, we are able to have a storehouse to, well, feed ourselves and our family and the people we're responsible for, but also to help other people and show compassion. There has been an abundant food supply in the world for many, many decades. But it's not always been like that. And I think about the people who calculate those things. And they say that our nation, our world, has less and less of a storehouse of foods. You know, there's different people who calculate it. But there has been one report that has been talking about this for some years, and the supply of world reserve of food simply has gone down and down from 3 months to over the last 4 or 5 years, from 3 months to now it's at 5 or 6 weeks. So, yes, it's just interesting. And what do we say? It says you have to use what is rational and make discernments and decisions about what just might be at hand. I know we always have troubles with statistics and having trust in what anyone tells us, as is right to do. You ought to be skeptical even of what you hear on the radio and what I say. Look it up. See what it is. But if it strikes your thinking and your heart to get those preparations together, then by all means do. And I happen to think of the long-lasting foods, which is grains. I think because grains hold their nutrition, flour does not. Flour, as it is exposed to the air, loses its nutrition quite a bit, even if it's in those packages of flour that you buy at the store. So try grinding flour yourself out of whole wheat, and I think you'll have a much more nutritious food that way. Look for yourself, because there's lots of people who will tell you lots of things, but it's pretty hard unless you look for yourself at what the real truth of the matter is. Everybody seems to agree that there could be a danger, but what that danger is exactly, that is a hard thing to try to figure out. And that's why you will do the best if you yourself look. If you yourself try to figure out what is the right course of action for you to take. Well, we all search out information. We all try to figure out what we should do and what is coming. But we really don't know the future, but we can see patterns. There are patterns. There are things that have gone on where failures have been in the world. Failures of our food supply, failures of our money system, failures of our government, and failures of each one of us to plan adequately. Yes, things happen, and we have a chance to do something about it. We can look at the statistics that are provided. We can see that there's all sorts of problems that are all around us. Right now, there's store closings. There's rail shipments declining, and that is an indicator of the economy declining. There's joblessness that is a question. Oh, and what those jobs are, what is that average income that people receive? And what is the average expense of a household? And what about our state of morality, our spiritual state? Christian morality is decreasing in the world and in our country. And other things are increasing, like drug use. That is increasing. Dependency, that is the dependability of our workforce, is declining. But the wages seem to be going up. It's just that things are not moving consistently in one direction. There is conflict. There are things going on that ought to not be going on. And so it seems to me that at one point our economy will reflect that. Our society will reflect that. And certainly our spiritual state of health or decay will reflect that. Lately, for a few years now, there's been people who advocate a universal basic income so that everyone gets enough to live, enough money, for free from the government. Oh boy, that's what some people are advocating. That will make inflation go so fast, right through the roof, if everybody has money. That's when we increase the money supply, and it is increasing. I've talked about that in the past, how the Federal Reserve is injecting money into the New York overnight fund and the stock market, effectively. The central banks are doing things to increase the money supply, and that means inflation. So, talking about patterns, again, I will say all this is leading to instability. So we better look out and say, what does our future hold? Well, let's get a few areas of stability in each of our lives. And that, of course, firstly, is our spiritual stability with our relationship with God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, that's the first thing. And then we think about the other things that we need to live, have security for ourselves, our family, and others. So that's just in case hard times come. And it's looking like it, like I said, cycles. And therefore, what do I say with cycles? I say, get those basic foods. Now, there are people who say, get food that's good to eat. And yeah, you can do that if you want, but it is more expensive. And so to me, what I think about is just getting the food that you need to get by. It's the very most basic food, especially wheat, all the whole grains, but especially wheat. and white rice. You want plenty of sugar because sugar is calories. Or you get honey. A lot of people need, well, everybody needs oil, so you need that too. I like either sunflower or olive oil because those are non-GMO oils. You get salt and you get flavorings. All sorts of flavorings, from vanilla extract to, oh, salt and pepper is a flavoring, yeah. So get all the flavorings that you could think of. And again, I think of the economical part of this, so you don't have to spend too much money. But with those whole grains, you will need a manual wheat grinder. I say get a middle grade one, and they come with either cast iron burrs or stone burrs. I think they're both very good and very efficient, so get yourself a manual wheat grinder in case the electricity goes out, and then you'll be able to make your bread and get the most nutrition from it. I also say to get a cast iron pot with a lid. You need the lid because it makes your food cook faster. But you need the cast iron. Oh, you might get it at a Dutch oven. Those are really good because you can cook in them and bake in them and everything. But you need the cast iron because it gives your body iron, and your body needs iron. You can get multiple vitamins, too. That's another good addition. Camp stoves are good, too. I say yes, get a propane camp stove and a number of 5-gallon canisters with it of propane. Ooh, in my experience, they last, if you use one a lot, it'll last 3 to 4 weeks. If you're using it every day. If you're baking or doing something with more of a propane use, you will use a bunch more. But just have some for that just in case. It sure is better to use a propane stove, in my opinion, than it is to smell like wood smoke all the time. And that's what you do when you use an open fire using wood. So look at those very basic plain foods so that you have some for the just in case you need it. It's not that you will want to eat this food all the time, but when you are hungry, oh, you have such a craving for that good basic food. And that's what I'm saying. Get those good basic foods. Hunger does something to a person. And yeah, you can always get the expensive meals, too. Expensive could be freeze-dried food or dehydrated foods or meals ready to eat like the military uses. There's dehydrated meals for hikers. And there's lots of alternatives, but I just think there's so much money that you can spend on those things. I say get the basic things first. And to me, like I said, that's grains, especially wheat, whole grains that you grind, and that includes white rice, sugar or honey, oil, salt, flavorings. Chocolate chips can be a good addition to things, too. Well, anyway, you can just get some of those basic supplies, get a few hundred pounds of it. That's what you really want to have. It's not very expensive once you get your basics done. So get those whole grains. If you're hungry, even the very plain foods taste really, really good. But you can use a few spices in it. You can use vanilla. Sure. You can get lots of things. Just a few spices also. You don't need much. When you're hungry, the little bit of spice goes a long way. Nutmeg, paprika, anything. Yeah, and I mentioned pepper. Pepper's a good one. Pepper does a whole lot. So get the food. And as I just said, the inexpensive foods are what I think of. And then you store them in a big metal drum. That's my preferred method. You can use a drum liner and then put your grains in there. It can stay in the 50-pound bags that you buy the wheat in, or you can even put it in loose. It takes up less room, but it's harder to get out. Now there's a lot of people who are very particular about everything, and that's good. No problem there. They insist on having all their food in Mylar bags, and sure, if you want to, that's good. But the people who deal with food, they aren't that picky. So you can decide if you want to be that picky or not. But you will put it in plastic bags, and you will put something in it so the bugs don't get into it. There's oxygen absorbers. There's diatomaceous earth. There's dry ice. All these things do something. I don't know that anything's perfect, but just to do something is a really big step. There's also dehydrated can number 10 cans of vegetables and dehydrated fruits. Those are very, very good, and they're a little more expensive, but it's really good to have some of those too. Remember your kitchen supplies like matches and soap and a kettle for having your warm morning beverage. There's lots of answers, but you have to look. You have to see what it is that you are desiring and craving and willing to spend your money on. There's lots of dehydrated foods, too. You can get powdered cheese and powdered butter, and no, it's not like the butter you buy at the store, but it surely does transfer the taste. And when you're hungry, all those things are really good. Lots of answers. You have to figure it out exactly what it is that you want. That's the only answer. But you have to look to make sure that you have what you want. Water filter and food, those are very important. Remember to have Bibles and hymnals. Hymnals and singing is very good when you are in a position of need. So you might want a musical instrument also. And remember that this is not about being worried about anything. No, don't worry about these things. The Bible tells us not to worry. So true. But think about it more like your car needing gasoline. When your car gets to empty, you need gasoline, and you think about gasoline the closer you get to empty. So think about your storehouse. How much food does your storehouse have in it? Is it getting close to empty? And is it time for you to get a few 5-gallon pails, plastic pails of wheat and sugar, or lots of other things? There's pasta. There's molasses. There's just so many things that you can get, but you have to do something now while it's available. Think about that. Get it now before it becomes unavailable. So thank you for listening to Christ Today. Listen to past broadcasts or this one again by going to www.christtoday.org. It's all lowercase and no spaces. And I do also have my preparedness pamphlet for free, which you can have by sending me a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for any donations. And may you walk with God, and make God walk with you. Let me live inside your